Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Brian London. He is our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference, as well as the editor of the Gold Newsletter. Now, Brian, look, we'll chat about the precious metals, but the fact of the matter is precious metals continue to be quite volatile and very much range bound. You look at silver, is bouncing in kind of this $20 to $30 region, lows of around $22.50 that happened tail end of last year, and some of these recent pops in the price really have just moved it right into the middle of its trading range. Gold has also been volatile. It looked like it was bouncing a little bit in the last month, but unfortunately that bounce has really come up short from any significant breakouts. What do you think is most important for gold investors or precious metals investors broadly to be watching when it comes to the big picture of the markets?
Well, it all gets down to real rates, doesn't it? I mean, that's the most consistent indicator for gold, and it's not only a long-term indicator, but unfortunately, it's also a short-term indicator. You know, we had those first couple of days right out the gate in 2021, 2 days of great gains in gold. And then it got slammed. And the reason is because the market, particularly bond investors, all of a sudden saw that Democratic control was assured of both houses of Congress. And they were looking at this tsunami of spending and debt and currency creation coming up. And the 10-year yield, for example, spiked and just in a it almost immediately went up tremendously and over that key mark of 1%. Unfortunately, inflation expectations didn't go along for the ride, didn't respond as quickly as the spike in nominal yields. So the real rate of interest, that's, you know, the nominal rate minus the rate of inflation or inflation expectations, actually rose. And therefore gold was sold off. And that's the key thing. It's not that real rates are negative, but it's really for this market where the prices of gold and silver are set in the paper gold market. It's really the direction of real rates. If they're flat or falling, almost assuredly gold prices are rising. But if that real rate trends up for a little bit, even temporarily, you're going to see gold most likely selling off. And that's, you know, that's the sum and total of it all. It's real rates right now because the market is watching those like a hawk.
Well, the interesting thing about rates too is, especially on the long end, rates have been moving higher. Some of the momentum higher has slowed. But how important is it going to be for the future of rates, especially in the near term? All dependent on what kind of government funding package we see. We're hearing that $1.9 trillion number. It's still not passed. Does that have a short-term impact on these rates?
Yeah, it will, short-term, again. And again, they came out with their $1.9 trillion number. That will probably be pulled back a little bit. I don't think much, but that pullback will be somewhat negative for gold because the higher number is baked in, you know, yada, yada. So the bottom line is that with all of this spending coming up, with all of this debt creation, the Fed needs to keep rates low because they can't afford the debt service costs. So we're in a long-term environment where real rates, nominal rates will be ultra low, near zero, and real rates will be negative. But again, along that, and that will boost the prices of gold and silver. We'll have a long-term uptrend. But along that uptrend, occasionally we'll see real rates trend upward or downward. If they go more negative, gold's going to pop and rally. If they take a temporary rise and get less negative, then we'll see some weakness in the metal. So those are going to be the wiggles in the uptrend. And we need to keep our eye on the horizon. Realize that in a year, 2-3 years down the road, gold and silver prices are almost assured of being much higher. And therefore, all of the associated investments, the leveraged investments like mining equities, are going to be much, much higher.
So, Brian, let's talk about mining equities, because broadly, the metal stocks are still correcting, or precious metal stocks are still correcting. Even the majors, they continue to drift in terms of share price, even though we can all expect some pretty good financial numbers coming out of them. How important do you think it is for, first, the majors to regain some footing and put in a bottom?
Yeah, I think that's vitally important, because that brings in the generalist money. You know, that's where the big money comes into the sector, and then they look for better returns by going further down the food chain into the mid-tiers, into the developers, into the juniors. That said, you know, there's a lot of news coming in now. Interestingly, we're getting news just now, drill results, from a lot of drill programs that ended in the fall. And, you know, the labs have been that backed up. So there are a number of companies that I'm looking at right now that are about to release important news. So, you know, those can run counter trend to whatever the broader trend, the underlying trend for the metals and the miners may be, depending on that news. That counter trend could be down if the news isn't good, and it could be up if it's better than the market has been discounting.
That is fair, and that's the thing, right? Right now, the market just doesn't really seem to care that much about the precious metals. It's not at all everyone's heading for the exit, but definitely everyone else is distracted by other markets and other sectors. What do you think could change some of the sentiment levels that have just gone into other sectors and largely left the precious metals?
I think it has to be a rotation of generalist money. As much as anything, you know, if we have a big drop in the stock market, we have a crash in the stock market, we're going to have a real liquidity vacuum, a liquidity crunch a la 2008, a la March of this past year. And that won't be good for metals, won't be good for mining stocks, at least temporarily. It'll create buying opportunities for sure. But the Fed is just going to come right back in and accelerate all of its programs exponentially, as we've seen. And come right back in and rescue the market. So I don't think, and I really don't believe that for gold to advance, we need weaker stocks. I think they're going to rise together in this environment where the Fed has to keep all of its, this house of cards that it's created, has to keep it erect. So they will keep pumping money into the system, and everything's going to float higher. If you want to preserve your wealth as the dollar and other fiat currencies depreciate, you need to opt out of the system and own gold, at least for a significant portion of your holdings, your wealth. And I do think that junior mining stocks and mining stocks in general are going to outperform the rest of the equity market. So, you know, it's a good place to be, but it shouldn't necessarily be the only place you are.
Yes, that's also important to discuss. And you know what? Fact of the matter is we're obviously very focused on precious metals and broadly commodities, and then driving down into a lot of the smaller cap companies, the explorers, even some small scale producers. What's catching your eye in terms of companies, either broadly or individually, that you think have the right work being done that could provide that catalyst that doesn't matter where the underlying metals price goes, it could still drive the stock higher?
Yeah, there's a number of companies out there. I just revealed a couple in a Gold Newsletter alert yesterday, so I'm not at liberty to talk about those two yet. But just backing up for a second, you know, we always talk about how the bull market expands from gold and silver into copper, base metal, you know, other metals and other commodities. There's actually a bull market well underway and roaring ahead in copper and in the broader commodity sector. We pointed to that and alerted our readers to that in late July, and it's just taken off both areas, or broadly and specifically copper. They've taken off great guns. So I think that bull market is already in place. And copper plays are reacting. Clean energy, battery metals plays are reacting. A lot of it's moving right now. Specifically as news, one of the companies that's about to release some important news that I've been talking about in Gold Newsletter is Montage Gold. But they've got about 1 million ounces at a fairly high grade in Ivory Coast, and they've essentially doubled their drilling since that last resource estimate, and doubled their the strike length of the deposit and the depth. So they're coming out with a new resource estimate very soon, and that estimate, roughly speaking, should double their resource to around 2 million ounces or so. So that would be a dramatic piece of news out there. The only question in my mind is how much of it is already being discounted by the market. I don't think all of it. So I think there's room there for a nice pop in that stock. And it's a great company anyway, fully funded, over $30 million in the bank. They're going to be rushing that thing toward production, and it'll be a prime takeout target.
Yeah, 50,000 meters of drilling from Montage Gold. That is a large drill program in a jurisdiction, too, that some people shy away from. I want to get your quick comments on the Ivory Coast. Companies or anybody operating there. In all fairness, I don't have a problem with that area. I have seen some successful companies come out of there, but I have gotten some comments saying, look, why the Ivory Coast? That seems too risky to me. What do you have to say about that?
Well, I don't like country risk when there are a lot of opportunities in relatively safer jurisdictions. But, you know, one person's safe jurisdiction is another person's risky jurisdiction. In addition, if the project and the valuation justifies it, then you can find some real opportunities in some of these other jurisdictions. And frankly, if you're investing in junior exploration and development stocks, you only need the situation in that country to hold together for a year or two, because that's really the time horizon for your investment. And that dramatically lessens the risk. Would I, you know, buy 10-year sovereign bonds in Ivory Coast? No, I wouldn't. But would I invest in a company that looks like it's about to double its resource and probably either go into production or be a takeout target within 18 months at a multiple, what I think might be a multiple of today's price? Yeah, I think that's a very reasonable speculation. And that's kind of what we're looking at here. And with Montage, you've got the Redback, the same management team that developed the Redback mining in a similar locale and sold it as a $7 billion transaction. So it's a good team to have in this area.
All right, Brian, appreciate your insights. We're going to wrap it up here, but always interesting to hear what you're looking at. And I will post a link to the Gold Newsletter website. So any of you, our listeners, if you want to stay up to date on what Brian's writing about and what he's recommending, that's your spot to do it. Brian, thanks for your time, buddy. I'll chat with you in a couple weeks.
You got it, Corey. Pleasure talking as always.